Well, good morning. Welcome to Union Congregational Church, a church in the United Church of Christ, where no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, you are welcome here. The last service ran a little bit over, so kind of in the midst of things here. So today we are celebrating Baptism of Christ Sunday, and today, to be able to do that, we are actually remembering our own baptisms a little bit later in the service, which is why the baptismal font is out here, and so all will be revealed soon. So, one announcement that I have, other people have a couple others as well, one announcement that I have is that I will be out of the office between this afternoon and Wednesday afternoon because I am going to a clergy gathering at Cedar Valley, one of our UCCI sites in West Bend, for a few days. Just to do some fellowship with other clergy and also some long-term planning. I'll probably get ready for Lent and do some other things like that. So you can certainly get a hold of me by cell phone or email, and I will be happy to respond just as soon as I can. And if you really need someone to be there for you right now, John O'Donovan has also offered to be around, and I would come back to town if I had to do a service or something for somebody. So keep me in the loop as usual if there's anything I can do for you. Let's see, Becky, you've got a couple announcements.
Good morning. If you ordered t-shirts, they are available after the service on the back table. They're all in a bag marked with your name on the original order form. We raised $130, which we put in the youth fund, which helps pay for the faith formation retreats for the confirmands. The other announcement I have is please take a look at the butcher block. I can almost say it. Pastor Jacob will need a ride on the Sundays in January and February, and right now I don't believe there's anyone signed up, so we'd love it if you'd take a look and take a turn. Thanks.
Thank you, Becky. Any other announcements?
I have one. As you can see by the announcement, please submit your committee summaries if you haven't yet. I would like to get a start on the report this week. Thank you.
Great. Thank you much. Yeah, Alana has a lot of work ahead of her with the annual report, so your promptness is appreciated on that. With that, let's share the peace of Christ with one another, remembering that we are that this is a time of year that some folks can get sick. So if you're feeling any kind of way, you might wave instead of shaking hands, but however you do that, let's share the peace of Christ together. So for our call to worship this morning, we're doing things a little bit differently. We're going to be watching and listening to a poem by the Reverend Steve Garness Holmes that hopefully will put us into a worshipful space. So the words will be up on the screen. This is "Through the Waters" by Steve Garness Holmes.
Through the waters. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. Isaiah 43:2. For 12 days, we pondered the mystery that the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Christ chooses to be with us. Now, another mystery, but the same grace. Christ is baptized with us, immersed in holy witness. So when you go through the waters, Christ is already there, breathing life, enduring with you. There is no struggle Christ does not enter, no suffering Christ does not share. The Beloved will never forsake you. Even in the worst sin, the most awful depression, the deepest loneliness, the foulest derangement, the most shameful death, God is with you. Every moment of your life is the stream Jesus was baptized into, immersed in you, soaked with you. When you pass through the waters and feel no companion, trust. The Beloved is the water itself, bearing you on.
And if you're able, for the opening prayer. It's in unison. God of many names, you name us your kin. If we rest in that identity, we can welcome others, even those we fear. For you are wild, with a spirit like a rushing wind, calling us into the chaos of relationship. Yet in you there is peace. When the oaks whirl and the cedars shake, you promise to be with us through water and fire. We are your people. You formed us and made us, knit us together, and taught us to pray. Through the power of that wandering spirit. Amen. The opening hymn is number 132, "Spirit of God, Descend Upon My Heart."
Thank you.
Men, you may be seated. Now, I invite any young worshipers who are with us to come up and join me. We've got something kind of cool today.
Can we stand around here?
Yeah, we can stand right over here.
Can we stand around this? Come on up, Jasper.
Yeah.
Here comes Trey.
Good.
Check this out.
All right. So there is a step stool if you want. That might make it a little easier. So this is something kind of special. Have you ever seen this before?
Yeah.
Anybody seen this before? This is called a baptism font. And can anybody tell me what the word baptism means? Anybody? You know what happens when you get baptized?
Do you get all wet?
Sometimes you get a little wet, right? And in this tradition, we sprinkle it over our heads. But in some traditions, you get dunked. You get all wet. People wear like special shirts and swimsuits and the whole bit. You know, everybody gets all wet. Yeah. I also heard a story of COVID time, you know, when we had to be 6 feet away and couldn't really touch each other. One pastor used a super soaker. You know,
fun?
those little squirt guns that...
You guys right? Have one? Do you have a super soaker?
I have one.
You have one? You have a super soaker? Have you ever used one of those super soakers on somebody else and got them all wet? Sometimes? Yeah. Apparently a priest did that once.
Ari and Abel.
You did it to Ari and Abel.
Yeah. Cool. So... today, we are going to be remembering our own baptisms. Does anybody remember when you got baptized here? The answer is probably no, right? Because in this church, we often baptize you as infants. I don't even remember my own baptism either, because I was baptized as a baby as well. And baptism is really special. Because if we are reminded that we are claimed and that we are loved and that we are known by God, and that God calls us to do something really important in our lives, which is to follow God, to show God's love, and to do God's work out in the world. So today we are going to actually be remembering our baptism by using the same vows that often we use when people get baptized, and I'm going to have you all stay up here because in a few minutes, and this is for everybody who wants it, in a few minutes, thank you, Becky, we will actually be, I will actually be doing baptism, sharing the baptismal waters with you, either on your head or on your wrist, whatever you like better. And before we do that, we will be saying the vows together, and then I will give you some water from the fountain here, and a little blessing. And then Becky will take you back to Sunday school. So you'll see the vows up on the screen here. And this is an open book test. I'll tell you what to say in case you can't read it. So So let's do these together. So friends, do you, and this is for everybody, do you renounce the powers of evil and desire the freedom of new life in Christ? If so, please say, I do.
I do.
Do you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? If so, say, I do. Do you promise, by the grace of God, to be Christ's disciple, to follow in the way of our Savior, to resist oppression and evil, and to show love and justice, and to witness to the work and word of Jesus Christ as best you are able? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God. Do you promise, according to the grace given you, to grow in the Christian faith, and to be a faithful member of the Church of Jesus Christ, celebrating Christ's presence and furthering Christ's mission in all the world? If so, please say, I promise with the help of God. So we are going to you can stand right here, and Sue will play a little bit of music, and during that... anyone who would like to can come up, and we will. You can come up one by one, and I will sprinkle some water either on your head or on your wrist, whatever you'd like me to do, and I will say a short little blessing on you, and then you can go back to Sunday school with Becky, and the rest of you can go back to your seats. If you want to do it. Okay. You are beloved and you are called.
Our scripture today comes from Isaiah 43, verses 1 through 7. But now says the Lord, the one who created you, Jacob, the one who formed you, Israel, don't fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, and you are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched, and flame won't burn you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I have given Egypt as your ransom, Cush and Seba in your place. Because you are precious in my eyes, you are honored, and I love you. I give people in your place and nations in exchange for your life. Don't fear, I am with you. From the east I'll bring your children, from the west I'll gather you. I'll say to the north, give them back, and to the south, don't detain them. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the end of the earth. Everyone who is called by my name and whom I created for my glory, whom I have formed and made. And from the New Testament, Luke 3, verses 15 through 17 and 21 through 22. The people were filled with expectation, and everyone wondered whether John might be the Christ. John replied to them all, I baptize you with water, but the one who is more powerful than me is coming. I'm not worthy to loosen the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. The shovel he uses to sift the wheat from the husks is in his hands. He will clean out his threshing area and bring the wheat into his barn, but he will burn the husks with a fire that can't be put out. In verses 21 through 22. When everyone was being baptized, Jesus also was baptized. While he was praying, heaven was opened, and the Holy Spirit came down on him in bodily form like a dove. And there was a voice from heaven, You are my Son, whom I dearly love. In you I find happiness. Here end the readings for today. May God bless us as we learn from these holy words. Amen.
Thank you, Jane. My friends, will you join me in prayer? God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts in this hour be acceptable to you, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So many of you were at my ordination about 2 years ago in Neenah. And that was the day that I got that official reverend title, and that lots of people said entirely too many nice things about me, and it was a really special and important day that I had been awaiting for 5.5 years, and it was, of course, a very exciting day and a very important day. Now, the picture you see on the screen is one of the rituals that happens when somebody is ordained or commissioned or set apart for ministry in some other way. That ritual is called the laying on of hands. So what happens during the laying on of hands is that the candidate for ordination kneels on a kneeler while a whole bunch of clergy and other people that are important to the candidate's life, you'll see my parents and my sister there, put their hands on me as well as I pray and as a prayer is being said over me. Now, I'm not quite sure I can describe the feeling that this moment elicited for me. Of course, I was very excited, but the sheer physical weight of all those hands on my shoulders and on my back and you know, is a feeling that I had never experienced before, and a feeling that I probably won't experience too many other times in my life, because that's kind of a special moment that only happens every so often. And I recognize that this is not something that everybody gets to experience in that literal way, right? But I bet that pretty much everybody has had some kind of laying on of hands kind of moment that reminded them of the weight and the importance of what they were saying yes to, whether that was... So if you were a teacher, there are lots of teachers in this room. If you were a teacher, maybe that moment was the first time you stepped into your very own classroom, knowing that you were called and equipped for what God and what other people were entrusting you to. Lots of folks worked in the corrections industry. Maybe that day was a training or some sort of mentor giving you the affirmation of your own call and your own journey. There are lots of different careers and lots of different things. When you were a student, maybe a professor or some other mentor in your life told you that they believed that you had what it took to do what God was calling you to do, or whatever that was for you, right? You can probably fill in the blank. There are moments where our call is affirmed, and that God calls us beloved, and that God tells us that God will be with us. So that's kind of what I want to talk about today, because I would be lying if I said that I did not have a healthy dose of fear as I was kneeling on that kneeler and taking those ordination vows. What if I wasn't actually cut out for the work? What if I crashed and burned here at my first church and you all ran me out of town? What if I got tired? And what if I got weary and decided that I couldn't handle this anymore and that God needed me to do something else? Haven't gotten there yet. Things are going pretty well here. There were lots of questions going through my head. And, you know, as I was thinking about the scriptures for this week, I had this question that kept kind of buzzing around in my head, and that's usually a good sign when I'm writing a sermon, that there's usually a question or a thought or a verse or something that runs through my head. The question that ran through my head this week was Jesus afraid? Right? We know that as John is baptizing Jesus, Jesus is praying. I wonder what he was praying about. Now, in the scripture, we are presented with a very confident Jesus. Jesus actually doesn't speak at all in this gospel telling of these events. In I believe it's Matthew's gospel, Jesus has more to say. But in this particular gospel retelling, Jesus actually doesn't say anything. But we are presented with a confident Jesus, and John the Baptist is actually the one who has the imposter complex. right? Because he says, you know, there is somebody that is coming that has more power than me. I baptize you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He actually says, I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. And yet, here I am baptizing him. And in fact, in one of the other Gospels, John actually says to Jesus, you actually want me to baptize you? And Jesus says, yeah, that's kind of how we fulfill everything. So just do your job, Mr. John the Baptist. But part of me wonders if Jesus ever questioned his own worthiness. He was human, after all. And we do see a particular moment of vulnerability in Jesus' ministry in the Garden of Gethsemane. He is about to be arrested, and Jesus says, you know, God, if it's possible, take this cup from me, because I don't want to drink it. And so, you know, he is human, and there are moments. Are we to believe that Jesus, even privately, didn't question his worthiness from time to time? After all, the stakes are pretty high for him. The commentator Caroline Lewis says about next week's text, which is the text where Jesus speaks his first sermon and is run out of town by his hometown. The commentator Caroline Lewis says, and I quote, hearing Jesus' first sermon, the hometown folks want to throw him off a cliff. Jesus will be rejected by his friends, his family, his community before he even does anything. Unquote. Responding to that kind of call is a tall order and not something that anybody would take lightly. But just as the weight of the call is real, so also is the grace. In our texts for today, God says two important things. In our Isaiah text, God says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When through the rivers, they won't sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you won't be scorched and flame won't burn you. And then, of course, in the New Testament text, as Jesus is praying, the voice of God speaks to Jesus. Maybe Jesus is the only one who can hear it. Maybe everybody else can too. We don't know. That wasn't something that was explained. But God says to Jesus, you are my son, the beloved, and in you I find happiness. So, you are my son, the beloved, and in you I find happiness, and I will be with you. You are the beloved, and I will be with you. So this is why celebrating the baptism of Christ is so important. In today's readings, we recognize that even Jesus needed John, a lowly, marginalized person, to initiate him into the ministry upon which we were about to enter. Which he was about to enter. Sorry. John was able to help Jesus contemplate and complete an important ritual which allowed him to do important work in the world. So, friends, today I ask you this question. What kinds of moments in your life have you had that were either affirmation moments or initiation moments for you? Who were the people in your life who helped you do the important work of preparing for a big change in your life journey? And how was your journey or your career shaped by those moments and those people? And how did you know that God called you beloved and that God reminded you that God would be with you? Those are a lot of questions, you know, a lot wrapped up in there. But that's kind of what I want you to think about, because as we remember, God calls us beloved. God will be with us. Those are the big pieces of today's scripture today. One of the things that I will always be grateful for as I took those ordination vows is that you will always be the first church that called me pastor. No matter where I go, no matter what happens in my life after, you know, years from now, you will always be that church, that first church who called me pastor. You put your trust in me when it was perhaps a risky proposition. I am young enough to be some of your children, some of your grandchildren, and yet you put your trust in me. You put your trust in me to love you, to care for you, to lead you with love and level-headedness and with good decision-making, hopefully most of the time, right? I will always be grateful for that. And I promise to continue to grow alongside you. And I promise to continue to help you think about how the call of God might be realized in this church and these people. Now, if I may be so bold, I believe this church has so much potential. And if I may be so bold, I think that you have potential that you don't think you have right now. I believe that you have potential to do important ministry in this church that you don't see yet. But we can only do that kind of work, right? We can only do that kind of work when we know that we are beloved and that we are called. But to do the important work after we are beloved and after we know that we are called, this important work, this potential lies in perhaps having hard conversations, perhaps talking about hard things. Because any form of ministry, either ordained ministry, commissioned ministry like me or John, or public ministry in biblical times like Jesus, or being a liberal church in a more conservative community like us, right? All of these things are really important, and they're really challenging. And they can get kind of messy sometimes. But I believe so strongly in your potential to do the work God has called you to do. So may you go into this week knowing first that you are beloved, and that second, that you are called. Write that name on your hearts, write that name on your heads, write that name wherever you go and whatever you do. Because even as difficult as the work of God will be, may you know that God will be with you on the journey and that God will guide you along the way. You are beloved and you are called. May you know that. May you feel that. May you live that. Thanks be to God. Amen. Now, please rise if it's comfortable for you to do so and join us in our next hymn. This is Child of Blessing, Child of Promise, and it is a hymn that many churches sing as a child is being baptized. So may you remember those words in your heart and remind yourself of that day in your life. Amen. You may be seated. Now we take a moment of more intentional prayer as we think of the people and situations that are on our hearts today. So let's take a moment of silence as we think of those people and situations, and then we will share prayer requests together. Receive the prayers of our hearts, O God. Amen. So a few prayer requests that I am aware of. This week I got the chance to visit with Paul Hartel, who is still recovering from foot surgery. He has a long road ahead of him, but he's in good spirits and says thank you for the prayers. So for Paul, God in your mercy. Also, for Lori Van Hoff's brother Tom, Rick tells me that he is home, but he too has a long road ahead. So with thanks for the fact that he is home and with grace and patience for Tom and for his family as they care for him and as he recovers. God in your mercy. Continued prayers for Mike and Deb Hammer as he goes through his cancer journey. For Mike and Deb, God in your mercy. Of course, for the unimaginable devastation in California. So many people have lost so much. God in your mercy. Any other prayers this morning? Okay. One other one that was lifted up earlier. We pray for Paul and Laura Reynolds because Paul and Laura, as some of you know, had to say goodbye to their precious dog, Kobe, this week. Kobe was a faithful companion to Paul and to Laura. And many of us got the chance to meet him. He was slobbery. He was smelly. He had no boundaries. But he had lots of love. He sure had lots of love for anybody who came into contact with him, and especially for Paul and Laura. So as for Paul and Laura, as they remember Kobe with love, God in your mercy. Anything on Zoom, Alana? No? Okay. Then let us be in prayer. God, in your grace and love, you remind us that we are beloved and that we are called. We thank you that each day you remind us of that and you etch that into our hearts. We give you thanks for the reminders of the ways that that is present in the laughter of children, in beautiful things that happen in the world, in good recovery from foot surgery, in good recovery after a long hospital stay for Tom. We also ask that you be with those who are experiencing challenges at the moment. For Paul and Laura. For others as they experience difficulty. For those in our community and in the world who are dealing with homelessness and poverty and food insecurity and discrimination in all of its forms. For our beloveds in California who deal with massive devastation. Be with us and equip us to do what we can to share your love and your hope with those who need it most. We pray this in the name of your Son Jesus, who was baptized into ministry and who taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. The time has come to offer our gifts back to God. Here at UCC Waupun, we give thanks for all gifts that are given, whether through time, talent, treasure, or prayer. You may give your gift as the ushers come around with an offering plate, or you may also give online at uccwaupun.net. But however you give, may you give with generosity in your heart as your heart and spirit invite you to give. Thank you. please join me in the prayer of dedication. O gracious God, we thank you for the invitation to grow through giving, made possible by your outpouring Spirit. May these gifts we bring be used to form ever new blessings in this congregation and around the world. And may our lives be the instruments of love and joy you desire. Amen. Our closing hymn is number 719, Go My Children with My Blessing. Now, my friends, receive these words of benediction. Remember that your first name is beloved, given to you by God before any other name. Remember also that it is the name given to every human being. May this blessed gift and claim of God grow in your heart and mind. And may it flow through you as a blessing into the life of the world. Blessings on you, beloved. And now may the love of God, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with us now and forevermore. Go in peace. Amen.